Welcome, everybody, to the podcast Hearers of the Word, offered by Kieran O'Mahony. This is a reflection on leadership today, inspired by 1 Thessalonians 2, 7-9 and verse 13, and Matthew 23, 1-12. In these days, the news can be overwhelming. One dimension which stands out is the quality, or unfortunately, the lack of quality, of leadership in our world. We know this in society and politics, in work and career, and not least in the faith community, the church. Good leadership makes a palpable difference, and the lack of it is sorely felt. It is easy, even enjoyable, to be critical of those in power, people who bear responsibility for others. It is harder to be constructive. Today's readings, rich and challenging, are a real help. We start with the Pharisees, who get a terrible press in the New Testament. Our gospel today is the harshest word spoken to them in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus may well have critiqued them, but we are really overhearing tensions in Matthew's community. That community of Christ-believing Jews had just recently broken away from the mother religion, hence the high level of antagonism in that gospel. All religious leadership is open to the challenge of hypocrisy. The high moral ground can be a chilly spot. In our time, we are very much aware that we cannot leave such critiques in the past. They apply today and to us as much as ever. We have the clericalist weakness for dress, titles, respect and honour. Unfortunately, we also have the flat contradiction between what is said and what is actually done, especially in revelations about abuse. So the words of Jesus cannot be left safely in the past. That would be another form of denial. We get a much more constructive picture of leadership in the reading from St. Paul. His first letter to the Thessalonians is the earliest surviving Christian document. The background is fairly clear. Paul started up a very small Christian community in Thessalonica in northern Greece, and then he moved on to Athens. In the meantime, the community underwent some kind of harassment, persecution, and they asked Paul to come back to them. He wasn't able to, and they were upset, and they read his absence as a lack of real affection. So in our reading, he reassures them that he really does love them, that they are part of his prayer, and that he cares for them very, very much. The foundational image is unexpected. In our translation it says, "Like a mother feeding and looking after her own children, we felt so devoted and protective towards you and had come to love you so much that we were eager to hand over to you not only the good news, but our whole lives as well." A more accurate translation runs like this: "Like a nursing mother caring for her own children, with such affection for you, we were happy to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." A nursing mother, a wet nurse in older terms, gets paid to breastfeed other women's infants. When it comes to her own, in her own home, she naturally does not expect to be paid. Hence, the maternal imagery of St. Paul, perhaps a little unexpected. In other words, Paul does not simply bring the good news to his hearers as a kind of product or deposit. He gives his whole self, as a mother and father would. He serves all his communities in such a way that they can see the love and service of Christ in the love and service of Paul. This is costly leadership, as Paul knows only too well. It is also the only way, so much so that Paul has the nerve to say in several places, be imitators of us and of Christ, in that order. We find it in 1 Corinthians 4:16 and 11:1, Philippians 3:17, 1 Thessalonians 1:6 and 2:14. As Paul himself says to the Thessalonians, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, when you receive the message with joy that comes from the Holy Spirit despite great affliction. Here in Dublin, the expression servant leadership has become current, itself part of the synodal process and the recovery of genuine Christian leadership after the model of Jesus himself. Let it be so again in our church. Most of us are not in leadership, of course, but we have all the same a significant role to play. We can always ask ourselves, how should I speak, act and engage in such a way that people in leadership can be both supported and enabled? This does not at all mean returning to the clawing deference of a bygone age. On the contrary, it means to have courage to speak the truth to power, to take part fully and let our voices be heard. Such shared leadership, even at the highest level, is the only way forward if there is to be a future church. Thank you very much, everybody.